Hello and welcome to the Donor Egg Mama podcast for soul-led intended parents considering a donor egg pathway and parents of donor egg conceived children. I'm your host, Adele O'Connor, a qualified fertility coach and proud donor egg mama. I'm just a normal mum that went on an extraordinary journey to conceive. I hope this podcast helps you in some way to break free from emotional overwhelm, face your fears, and find the courage to move forward and bring that baby that's on your heart into your reality. Let's talk openly about our emotions and all topics donor egg IVF. Thanks for listening. Hello and welcome back to the Donor Egg Mama podcast and series 2, Donor Egg Mama Talks, stories of hope and inspiration. I'm your host, Adele O'Connor, IVF warrior and proud donor egg mama. Today's guest is Eloise Cloet, who joins us from Johannesburg, South Africa. Eloise has been a successful business owner in corporate event management and an entrepreneur who was not expecting the next phase of her and her husband's lives to be quite as complex. Life is often challenging when we least expect it. Her experience is not unique and may help you with yours, yet life often goes in different directions than planned, and learning to let go of a plan, difficult and wonderful events occur. There is often great turmoil when fertility feels like futility, yet Eloise and her husband gained valuable lessons along the way. Experience has lent her a unique perspective on coaching and mentoring others on this often roller coaster path of fertility and building a business. And with her brilliant diligence, their daughter shines on today. The road to life is indeed a special journey. So, Eloise, what an absolutely beautiful introduction that you so beautifully wrote. Tell me, where would you like to start with your journey?
So I think if I look back is to perhaps maybe talk a little bit about what got me to the conclusion of the plan that I, in my mind, thought was the best way in becoming a mother or a parent, and how it actually in the end unfolded to be something completely different to what I anticipated at the time. And I think if we start there, it will be able to perhaps shed some light and give some clarity to other women who perhaps are struggling with the same thinking patterns, thought processes, the plans that they perhaps have got in their mind of, you know, this is the only pathway of becoming a mother, and really just give inspiration and hope to those that once you're in the thick of things, the picture may not be the picture that you start off with, but the end result can be something so much different once you're able to connect your thinking patterns with the outcome that perhaps in the end is what gets revealed. So I think if we can maybe start there, that would be a great place to start.
Yeah, that's amazing. So when you say connecting your thinking patterns with what you want, did you work a lot on your sort of subconscious mind and imagery and all of those things when you're on your journey?
It actually unfolded quite interestingly. I think it's something that I stumbled on by coincidence, and I don't think that there is anything in life that's pure coincidence. I think life brings to you what you naturally bring to life. And I think my journey was one that was quite arduous, as many women would have gone through themselves or currently going through. And I think the pivoting realization or the pivot point for me was when I remember the one day we went cycling. My husband and I have been avid mountain bike cyclists. Not so much now because we've got almost a five-year-old that is keeping ourselves very, very busy. And I remember it was kind of just at the dawn of trying the last time where we kind of like drew the line in the sand and said, right, we're going to give it one more try. And I remember cycling saying to him, and I stopped and he carried on cycling and he says like, oh, you're not cycling. And I said to him, I just think that I clicked why things haven't been happening in the past. And he said to me, what are you even talking about? And I said to him, I was very disconnected from the experience. I kind of like just went through the motions of, oh, well, okay, you know, it didn't happen with my own eggs the first time. Something is wrong with me. Like, I only have the one ovary due to premature ovarian failure, loss of an ovary at the age of 23. And I remember saying to him, the disconnect was, before, I didn't connect with the fact that I actually resonated with the picture that I saw. I saw myself as this complete failure. I was successful in the one area of my life, yet the one area that I wanted to have control over, I had real no control. You don't really control life. But because from my background in event management, we like to be in control of every single step and every single process. So I often refer to myself as a little bit of a control freak. I used to be. I'm not so much anymore. And I think a penny dropped was when I said to him, well, the disconnect was I wasn't able to connect with the process. The process was, well, okay, if this is happening, then what? So, okay, there's another plan. So I'm going to run down and go down this little rabbit hole and see where it leads me to. And when we even investigated the first anonymous donor, I thought, well, okay, it didn't happen with my own eggs. Okay, what's the plan? What's the next step? So just charging ahead, kind of like ticking the boxes, but not really connecting with the whole process. So what is it revealing to me? If I'm disconnected, where's the disconnect coming from? What could the picture look like if I let go of the one image that was burnt in my mind? I always knew that I was going to be a mother. I didn't know how. I didn't know the steps, but I had this burning image in my mind. And I always knew it would be a little girl for some unknown reason. I knew that that was what was going to end up happening. And when I realized that I was disconnecting my thinking patterns from the actual physical world, I realized that there must be a connection somehow. So if we were going to go into the last try, I had to find a deep within myself to put those bags down and let go so that something new could flow in. And when I did that, I started connecting with the process far better. I started accepting myself the way that I saw myself, the self-image that I had of me, believing that I was walking around with a scarlet letter that I didn't want to reveal to the world. I felt very isolated. I mean, these are all the stories that I think so many women go through, and that you question yourself and you question your abilities. I'm all about telling stories and sharing stories. And I also remember a big turning point for me was when I turned to him the one evening we were in the kitchen and I said to him, what if we're never going to be parents? Am I ever going to find the acceptance within myself and be able to move on? Like, I really just wanted a tangible outcome or somebody to tell me, well, it's okay if it doesn't happen because you'll be okay. And I remember him turning around saying to me, and it was as hard for him as what it is for me. And he looked at me and I could see in his eyes, he was like, well, what am I going to say now? Because if I say the wrong thing, she might just throw a knife at me or something. And he looked at me and he said to me, will it be such a bad thing if it is just the two of us? We've been together for so long. We've gone through so many things and heartache in our life together. Even this trying to conquer the biggest Mount Everest that there is in life. Is it such a bad thing? And I remember thinking immediately, man, what are you even saying? Am I even hearing these words? Like, do you not understand? And I realized that it was his way of showing me compassion, his way of communicating with me. And I could have very easily reacted and gotten angry and, you know, let my emotions take control of me. But it is so important in those moments to understand where all of these things come from. So it was really a process that I stumbled on in terms of how do I look at myself? Where am I? And I actually wrote myself a letter, strangely enough. I wrote my future self a letter, giving me compassion, like looking back, like where would I be in 5 years from now? And it was almost like a forgiveness letter that I wrote to myself. And even before I went to a donor clinic for the anonymous donor, the first round, and I wrote a letter to my future child where I wrote to her and tell her about where she was coming from. And it was actually okay that I wasn't maybe the blueprint maker. I was the builder. And in those moments, I gave myself self-compassion and the empathy that I needed to give myself the forgiveness, right? Because I think we don't forgive ourselves in the thick of things. You automatically go to, well, it's something that I've done wrong, maybe earlier on in my 20s or in my early childhood, did I have one too many drinks when I went out partying, etc. I remember the first time thinking, if I write myself that letter, what would that look like? What would my letter look like if I give it to my daughter in the future? And it's so interesting because I pulled that letter out a couple of months ago and I actually read it, and it was so incredible how in that letter I wrote what I saw and how she would turn out, what she looked like, what her personality was going to be like, all of those things. And it's so interesting because it's almost affirming what she is today and what she's unfolding like as a little human being, the feistiness in her personality, which is something that I wrote about. And it's fascinating. So it is a process that I really stumbled on, that I feel that it helped me in the thick of things, and it helped me just to find that acceptance of letting go of that plan, the previous plan, and embracing the new plan that would then flow to me. So yeah, that's really in a very long story in a nutshell.
But I love that so much. And tell me, is it kind of like we hear about the IVF warrior kind of archetype almost, if you like, and so many people identify with the IVF warrior. And for me, I kind of feel like you can get stuck in that IVF warrior mode where you are, you know, constantly battling, moving forward, but through all the processes, the medical processes, the hustling with the financial departments, the chasing up with the donor coordinators and all of that kind of side, and trying to find out what's going wrong with different protocols. And there's all that kind of real doing side that we're kind of involved in. But at the same time, when we're so much in that kind of mode that we don't connect with what's going on in our hearts and, you know, emotionally with ourselves. And yeah, I kind of almost describe it as like the shadow side of the IVF warrior, you know. And is that kind of, does that kind of resonate with you about where you were at? You were sort of fighting on your journey for so long that you'd lost sense of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what also resonated a lot there in the thick of things, and why it wasn't an easy process, but I almost went into default do mode versus really just taking a step back and saying, wait, hang on, what is going on here? Like, people often refer to it as a roller coaster. I refer to it as a storm, because it's almost like you're in this perfect storm and the storm just swirls around you and you kind of feel, well, where's my way out of this? Because you just go down the one rabbit hole to the next rabbit hole. And it happened to me where I really just wasted so much time by thinking, no, I'm not going to accept this. I'm not going to accept what this specialist is telling me. So I'm going to go for a second opinion, and I'm going to go for a third opinion, and I'm going to go for a fourth and a fifth. And I did. I went for five opinions before I finally like, well, okay, if they're all saying the same thing, what is that revealed to me? And then it was still not enough, because then I was like, no, I'm going to go the holistic way, and I'm going to try the holistic way. And I think probably internally I was trying to tick all the boxes, because I wasn't accepting the fact that the looming on the horizon was the only way I probably would be able, an alternative way of embracing becoming a mother. And I was in denial mode for a very, very, very long time. And by just going through these protocols, and then when the first time when you go and they do all of these tests and you go, okay, yes, check, you kind of like just want to do that checklist. Now, it is very similar to corporate event management. Like, you put this plan together, we call it our event Bible, and that is what you go with. And if this goes wrong, then it's okay, we'll just apply this process because there's a backup for a backup kind of a thing. And it does, it disconnects you from the whole process. It disconnects the mind, the body, the connection that I firmly believe why the final attempt was a completely different attempt, was a different outcome, because I decided that I don't want to do the same thing over and over. And I mean, that's that saying, and you then expect a different result, because I wasn't getting different results. I was trying everything under the planet, like taking these vitamins and asking people, so what are your protocols and what did you do differently? And, ooh, I mustn't do this month because maybe it's going to affect the egg. And what you do 3 months before is going to affect the egg like 3 months later. And it's just this crazy craziness that in the end, what works for somebody else isn't going to work for you because you are a different individual. You're a different being with a different personality. And by wanting to try and follow what other people are doing, you're denying your soul, what your soul really needs in that moment. And it sounds like it's on a very deep level, but it really truly is. I firmly believe that because that's when the connection starts. Whatever you think is what's creating the turmoil inside. I mean, if you want a different outcome or a different result, you've got to change the thinking patterns that creates all of that turmoil and that emotion inside of you. We're threefolded beings. I mean, we're not just the standalone individual with an IQ. So everything has got such a connection. And if you want, you know, the different result is because of the way that you think and how you feel in that moment. And it is very hard in that moment to kind of step back. But I don't know what it took from me besides the multiple attempts, the failures. I've had miscarriages before. I've had my ectopic pregnancy that I shared as well. And you kind of end up getting so resentful towards, well, why is this happening? Why is God doing this? Why is the universe doing this? Like, what is going on with me? It's this doctor's fault. And you fall into that trap and it further disconnects you even further from the entire process. To the point that even when we did get the success, and I'm going to share that, was I almost felt, hang on, we've been here before. I'm only going to believe it when I see it. So only will I believe that I'm pregnant if I see her on the scan. And I then saw her on the scan and I thought, okay, I'm only going to believe it if. So I fell in that happiness trap of I will only be happy when. And I had to physically stop myself because I was like, what are you doing? You've asked for it. You are receiving it. And you're pulling yourself back into that disconnect trap. And you're going to remove yourself from the process even further when you are pregnant. I mean, which is the most beautiful time to actually feel that life growing inside of you. And again, then you just end up going into the do phase. I'm just going to do this because then I'm going to get this. And you've got to just stop because that's the process that disconnects from the end result completely.
Yeah. It's that fear, isn't it? That fear and self-protection that comes up and can be even worse in pregnancy than you thought it was bad through the fertility process. And then you get pregnant and you're so, so frightened that it's all going to go wrong. There's this big self-protection anxiety that starts to happen. So yeah, 100%. I totally hear you. And you're absolutely right. When you start to recognize that and change how you choose to respond to all of these different things that are happening during the fertility journey, then we can have a different experience. And that is what we Absolutely. Can control, how we experience this. And
on that note, I think a lot of ladies or a lot of women or people in general, I mean, not just necessarily women, I think you're so fixated on your diet, your tablets or the medication that is given to you. But it's not just the thinking process, because I mean, when you think, it obviously it releases a certain amount of hormones in your system. That has an effect on everything. And you don't realize it until somebody actually tells you that it's not just stress from the environment stress, it's stress that you create within yourself. So, which is why it has such a huge impact on either when you try with your own eggs or whether you even try with donor egg at the end. It all has a connection. It all has an effect on what that outcome is going to look like. So yeah, I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, 100%. I love that. It's so many different pieces of the puzzle aligning. And I think that subconscious brain piece, where subconscious brain and our conscious brain are supporting one another in the process, is a big piece of the puzzle as well. And if anything, just soothing that subconscious brain so that you're out of that fight or flight and you're not releasing all those fear hormones can have a really a much better experience as well for the person going through the fertility journey. And I wanted to also say how much I love when you were talking about letter writing. That's something that I did for myself too on my journey. And I think it's such a powerful thing to do. I guess it's a form of journaling, or it is a form of journaling, but just kind of to write to somebody just somehow allows those words to flow a little bit easier. And yeah, I also wrote to my future child. I wrote a letter to my womb. I wrote a letter to my future self as well. And to look back on those words is wonderful. And I love that you wrote to your future daughter, and now you can recognize the things that you wrote in your daughter now. That's just so, so special. So yeah, if anyone's listening and looking for some good strategies to help, letter writing is amazing. It can also help to tap into some of the grief that you might be feeling and be able to express that, and also just to help visualize what you want for the future. Put that, by putting in that in writing in a letter, can be very powerful.
Yeah, I mean, it helps with the whole process of accepting where you are, the forgiveness that you give to yourself in the process. And I think it's really gives you the courage and the clarity on what your next steps are. I think at the time, I think I was doing it more for myself, because I said to my husband, if this doesn't happen, we are climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, because I think that will be easier to summit than doing this. And I think by letting go of the old made way for the new to come in, and made me less attached to what the outcome was. Because I think we are so attached to the outcome should be, I have to now be pregnant. And because you have to be pregnant, and the need, we all have these desires. And sometimes desires actually take you further away from what your end picture is that you've got in mind. It can obscure the need versus I want, you know, and I need to do this and I have to do this. And it almost becomes like a chore, like, oh, I've got to go through all of these steps. And I think that obscurity that it creates within you then offsets so many other emotions that are happening in your mind, in your world, and it just further, again, it just removes from the process. And yeah, just get it unattached. I know it's not easy, but being unattached to the outcome, and just, I think the journey reveals itself the way that it needs to. And I think it was last week, we actually did a huge presentation. So for my corporate event and company that I still have, my business partner and I had to do a huge presentation for a corporate. And I think just going into the presentation, I said to her, she actually said to me, I don't even know, we've tried so many times by getting this particular event, what's going to make anything different? And I just kind of said to her, I want to share something with you that I read this morning. And I said, and she said to me, what is that? And I said, nothing in life will not come to you if it's not meant for you. And you cannot mess anything up that is meant for you. So the message in that is, it made me realize how the connection was way back then, was I cannot mess this up. I cannot mess the cycle up, because it is going to be in the way that it is going to be, and it's going to unfold in the way that it's going to unfold. And that is the connection that I just wanted to bring back to your listeners, that you're not messing anything up by doing what you are currently doing at all. Like, there's nothing that you're doing wrong. It's just the process that is unfolding, and it's where you are in your journey in getting to the outcome that you want to get to, not need to get to.
Yeah, absolutely. And by letting go, it can help you to enjoy, maybe that's too strong a word, but to flow with the process a little bit more, to cope better when you're not trying to control every part of it, and just having that sense of confidence, if you can, that this is going to happen for me, but I just don't know when or how, but it is going to happen. I am going to be a mum. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to be a mum. And even adding to that, and if I'm not, that's okay too. So it's not easy.
It's interesting.
I mean, I went to a whole like fertility retreat for like weeks and worked on all of this before my transfer time, and Yeah, there was a lot of tears shed and a lot of emotional processing, but it was so worth it in the end. And to have that clarity and that I went through that kind of that letting go process as well.
Yeah, and what I'm hearing is that the release that you gave in the retreats that you went on, it was the release of the emotions of the turmoil to open up the process for you. I mean, look, I don't know your story entirely and how many cycles you had gone through. And I did read about you went into your donor cycle with your father, the news of your dad, and the turmoil that can create again. It's your headspace and how do you show up in the best space for yourself in that process is so important. Like, how do you hold the space for yourself? You're not just holding the space for yourself, you're also holding the space maybe for your significant other. And infertility may be a disease that many people can't explain, or many scientific reasonings. Like, I couldn't understand, well, where does endometriosis come from? Why do women, you know, that never have endometriosis, all of a sudden, even after they give birth now, all of a sudden they have endometriosis now? Mine was the opposite way around. And why can they not actually explain it? Like, where does it come from? Like, why did it happen to me? Like, you know, my sister, she had twins. We've got twins that runs in the family naturally, and there I am, and I'm not the most fertile individual, although I still believe that I am fertile, because if I wasn't fertile, I wouldn't have been able to carry my child and being able to bring her to life. So I started reframing my mindset around, well, what does fertility really mean? Like, is it the old way of looking at it? And yes, infertility is a disease, and it is a disease, but the knock-on effect of it, it becomes a mental illness because of the emotional roller coasters that you're going on, the depression that it can create, the isolation that that can create. And it spills into so many areas of your life. I remember my business, the corporate events business, was starting to take an effect. I mean, it was the shockwaves of it. And like, you just don't feel worth it anymore. And I think it is so vital to get your mental space right, so that how you come into that phase of who am I and how am I going to show up for myself in the process? And again, to just connect it when you were saying with your retreats that you went on, it is important because you release that. You release all of that emotions, right? And that is so key. And I don't think many, and I say it to be corrected, I don't think so many from my map of the world, people really understand how vitally important that connection really is, and what that chemically release in your body that you're holding on to all of that trauma.
Yeah, 100%. People don't really understand it, but they know they need support. And so I know you help people as well on the fertility journey, which is wonderful. It's so great that there are people out there in the world, because especially on the donor egg journey, there aren't that many people that talk about it. And I think when people come to you and they want some support that are going through a donor egg journey, they don't quite sometimes even know what it is that they need. But when we start to unpack and, you know, talk about the different emotions that might be there and all the different complexities of that emotion and how it impacts people's life in so many ways, then they realize, oh my gosh, yes, this is the different resources, different strategies that you can adopt and reframe, you know, start to think about your life in a different way. And then all of a sudden, there's this kind of sense of just relief and a bit more confidence and acceptance and, yeah, connection with the woman that they were sort of before they started the journey. It can start to sort of find joy again in different things, in different aspects of their life, where it's not just the fertility journey running the whole show. So you're right, people don't realize, because it's such a medicalized system, and we're also living in such a male dominated world where our energy, us women, have just gone into the male energy as well. We're just like full on, you know, power women that can do it all and be it all. But in that, sometimes we lose that connection with our womb space, yeah, our space of creativity, our feminine flow, our slow flow, our emotional connection, and all of those things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I love that you say that. I love that you say that because it is so true. And I find, and especially we society have created that, and especially because women have been labeled before from coming from a, especially in South Africa, women are classified as previously disadvantaged individuals. Now, I get so frustrated with that, but I understand what they are saying because women have never been given the platform to have careers, excel in their careers, able to build successful businesses, and then we end up competing on a completely other level. And I love that you mentioned about the whole energy from the male versus the female femininity, and we forget that. And yeah, we do disconnect. And I find that specifically with the corporate events world is you really have to have put your big girl pants on to be able to run with the big dogs. And you forget that. And because the world, that specific space, the people that generally excel in their careers, they are generally A-type personalities, and there's some form of a connection with A-type personalities, and infertility. Science haven't really been able to quite understand that, but it comes with high stress levels, et cetera, et cetera. But it's I think it has got a lot to do with the competing with that male energy, and you've got to prove something to yourself and to the world. And then before you even know it, it spills into the disconnect again with your feminine side. So I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, it is fascinating. And there seems to be a bit of a resurgence now of teachings, of understanding about the feminine power and women rising and all of that, which is so, I think, helpful to us to be able to tap into this information and to remind ourselves of the power of our femininity and to use that to our full advantage, especially on the fertility journey. But yeah, getting back to your own personal journey, Eloise, tell us about the clinic that you used in South Africa. Was it in Johannesburg as well? And a bit about the process of you getting to your beautiful daughter.
Yeah, so I was with two clinics. So I was with Medfem, which was, they're based in Sandton in Johannesburg. And that was with my own eggs at the time. In between being stimulated for my own eggs and having in the resting phase is when we fell pregnant naturally, didn't know, then ended up being in the ectopic pregnancy. And then we went back a year later, and then it was the donor egg speech, because then my AMH levels had dropped to such a low level. I kind of felt like I received the biggest, baddest news in the world. I felt like something was dying inside of me, as I think many, many women go through when they're told it's maybe not going to be through your own genetics. And I immediately went into the denial mode, kind of got some information, done some research, what's epigenetics, et cetera, et cetera. And that kind of started opening up the idea of, well, what does donor egg look like? And then it was this whole set of emotions that went, well, wait, I don't want to really be just the incubator. So I had to process all of that, etc. And then we started researching anonymous donors. So went through, oh, I can't remember how many donor agencies, just to try and find the perfect one. And there is no perfect donor, really. You're never going to be able to match them 100% with your looks and your personality. It's never going to be like that. And ended up making a short list of donors. Remember, then I thought, well, okay, well, which clinic are we going to use? I then started researching two other clinics in Pretoria, and then ended up deciding that we were going to go with the Pretoria East Fertility Clinic with the doctor there, Dr. Tro. And we ended up choosing that clinic, not because of any, it's just the way that I felt more comfortable there than versus with Medfem. Medfem has got a very, very good name. Loved my doctor there. It just ended up being a different clinic that we chose at the time. The reasoning also there was Dr. Tro was also then my gynecologist that took me all the way through to delivering my baby. But it didn't happen the first time. So, and I think that was the biggest deciding factor between the two clinics. because most clinics, they treat you, they sedate you, and then they hand you over back to your gynecologist or the individual that would deliver your baby. And I wanted somebody to walk the journey from the beginning to the end. So it didn't happen the first time. With Donor Egg, the anonymous donor, we went for the first cycle, got stimulated, we did a fresh transfer. Didn't happen. Well, I was pregnant. I did fall pregnant, but I think it was more a chemical pregnancy at the time, which was quite heartbreaking because we went for our 6-week scan. And I remember him looking at the scan and I could see in his face and I just went, oh my gosh, something, this doesn't seem like anything is happening there. And he turned to me and he said, look, we'll send you for some bloods, but I don't think you're pregnant anymore. And I remember thinking, oh, okay. And I kind of looked at him thinking that he was going to give me the support that I wanted. And I think, you know, for these people, it's not that they don't have the empathy, but I was really looking for the empathy and there wasn't really the empathy that I was seeking. And I kind of felt like, wait, is this what I'm dealing with? Like, why is he not holding my hand? Mm-hmm. And it truly is not really what his job is. His job is not that. And I thought, wow, this is such a foreign feeling. Like, how do I process all of this? Anyway, and then, so we had some eggs that was able to be fertilized or embryos that we were able to freeze and took a couple of months off just to kind of decompress, like, what does this look like? What's the process? Like, is this meant to be? Started asking questions again. And then we went back and we did the thawing process. They've implanted the final 2 embryos and didn't happen. So I then thought, well, this is a hoax. This feels like the biggest lie that, you know, you're going to fall pregnant with a donor egg because now the eggs are younger and the embryos are younger. So it's going to happen, right? And I recall it was probably about a year and a half later, working through my emotions, dealing with the emotions. There is a fertility psychologist based at MedFem, who obviously if you go through the donor egg, you've got to be evaluated to see if you're mentally able to go through a donor egg because it is completely a foreign cycle to your own, as you will attest to that. And remember thinking, I need to perhaps go and see her and just speak about the emotions, etc. But it was interesting because in that time of trying to understand, it was also the time that I was writing to my future child, writing to my future self, writing the forgiveness letter to myself. All of that processes I'd done all by myself. And then I went back to her. And again, from a psychology point of view, they work a lot. I just wanted to know, how can I move forward? I don't want to be stuck in that turmoil of trauma. And yes, I understand that. I wanted the release and wanted to move forward. I wanted to, like, well, what is my future going to look like if it's not going to be this? And in that process, had 2 family members reach out to me. Interestingly, it was first a cousin of mine, and she reached out, and I remember it was the August of the year. And I thought, wow, this is completely out of the blue. And then it was 2 days later, she said to me, she's sorry. She thinks that she got ahead of herself. Now that she's thinking of what she offered, it's not what she thinks she's right for and ready for. And she hopes that I can find forgiveness. And I was kind of thinking, you can't offer something to somebody of this nature. Now you want to try and retract it. And I thought, you know what? Actually, it's okay, because I'd rather have it happen now than going through that whole thing of going through it, being assessed, going down there, being stimulated, and then all of a sudden she stops. So I was okay with it. And I thought, everything happens for a reason. It is okay. And I think it was about 2 months later, I had a conversation with my niece at the time, and she turned to me and she said, well, why can't you fall pregnant? Is there something wrong with your uterus? And I said to her, nothing's wrong with my uterus. My eggs are old. Bottom line, and I've only got the 1 new ovary, and the poor little ovary is so overworked that I'm in premature ovarian failure and I'm in menopause. So to try and stimulate and really force my body to do something that it's not able to do is really not fair on my body physically, let alone mentally. And then, you know, it was the whole process. And she turned around and said, well, I'll give you an egg if it's all you need. And I was like, well, do you know what you're saying? And because I've been there before with my cousin, I was like, I'm not going to go down this road. So I said, so I think you need to just discuss this with your mother and discuss this with your father and then come back to me. And if it's still something that you want to do, then we will take it and advance it to the next step. So that was the beauty that it unfolded, that, you know, and it was only the following year that she then got evaluated psychologically to see if this is something that she's ready for. And then that was a whole set of other emotions like, oh, it's somebody that I know, and it's somebody that's so close to me. Is she going to think that she's the mother of the child? And what if this is one? And there was a whole bunch of other questions that came about, but it ended up being fast, I think, closer connection. Yes, I did know the donor, but again, it wasn't the connection from, I don't see her all the time. She actually now lives in New Zealand. So we don't see one another, you know, even when she was still in South Africa before she immigrated. At birthdays, it was interesting because I think the very first birthday, I was thinking, I wonder how she's going to look at her and how she's going to look at my daughter. And is she going to have those ideas of, is this my child? And there was never that in 1 second that, you know, I've got to be guarded because do I have to have this contract drawn up and signed because I've got to guard my child? And that just comes from I managed to realize that came from a sense of scarcity of I've got to protect what's mine. And, you know, it's not necessarily what's mine is yours, but just to embrace that she's giving me such a beautiful gift of, you know, I want to give this to you as my aunt to be able to have this opportunity of having a child. And that was the beauty that had unfolded and perhaps was the right time for me to be able to say that now I'm a mother, because I've done all of the internal groundwork. Life then gave to me what I really, really wanted and then got in the end. So we went back to the same fertility clinic and the rest is history.
That's so good. So the first transfer with your niece's eggs and the embryos that were created worked?
Yeah. So they stimulated. I was thinking way back when they managed to harvest, I can't remember the exact count, but it was way over 20 eggs that they harvested. But out of the 20, they could only work with 8. And out of the 8, only 4 managed to get to day 5. And then they only transferred 2. And then there were actually none that they were able to freeze in the end. So what ended up, and I remember her saying to me, oh, I wish that they were able to keep more. And I said to her, you know what? All I really want is to be able to feel being a mother. And if only I have the one, then I'm okay with it. It's not this forever, oh, I'm only going to be happy now. Now I want another one. And now I want another one. And yeah, and I think a lot of the times, even with the anonymous donor, they managed to freeze grade A embryos. But those grade A embryos, once they were thawed, didn't happen because I hadn't done the internal groundwork, the internal work, because the disconnect was there. It was just going through the motions of, okay, well, I've got to do this and I've got to do this. Whereas the difference was I've done the groundwork, I've done the internal work, I've done everything from a holistic point of view, mind, body, external. And if it wasn't meant to be, I managed to find that, okay, the acceptance that if this time around it's not going to happen, then motherhood probably is not what my life is supposed to be. Then I'll just have my cats and it's okay. I'll be the mommy to my 4-legged babies that I seem to nurture and care for. And I was okay and content with that in the end.
Yeah, so that's a really, what an incredible story, first of all. Your beautiful niece was able to give you that gift and you got your beautiful daughter now. That's so lovely. And now you're navigating that known donor journey, which, as you've explained, brings up fears as well and insecurities, the same as using an anonymous donor. It's like an evolving mindset, I feel, the donor egg journey. And sometimes it's only with time and when you sort of gain confidence in your role as the only mother in the whole world to your daughter, after a while you can gain that confidence that there is nobody else that could ever replace me. But it takes time to get to that place, and to navigate the ins and outs of it all is rather tricky, to say the least. You sharing this and your very unique story, I think, is so wonderful, because there'll be people out there that are, you know, perhaps thinking of using an egg from somebody else, from a family member, and just unsure, just not knowing what to do, which way to go, and feeling all of the complexities that come up. So it's really great. Thank you for sharing so open-heartedly your story.
No, it's a pleasure if it can help other people. I mean, it's something that I think I alluded to when you reached out to me the first time. I mean, coaching for me at the moment, or historically, has been predominantly from a business perspective, meaning doing business coaching. But I found that in my world from event management before, et cetera, that it's a common challenge. It's fertility is a common thing that is a hush that nobody wants to speak about. And it's just something that, if this is a gift that, you know, it's my story, it's a part of my story that I shouldn't deny, if it can help other people, just sharing that, I think the more people and the more we speak about it more openly and freely, there is no shame, A, to have fertility challenges, and B, how you become a mother, no one should actually put a question on it or judgment on it, because you're the one that is walking that road. No one can stand in your shoes. And if it gives any help towards people, or women for that matter, or couples that are walking the same journey, if it can give them some clarity in what to do next, or perhaps how they can tackle the next phase of their journey, I'm happy to share, and I'm grateful that you've created this platform speaking about it openly and freely, because you're right, there are not many, a lot, I mean, there's a lot of focus on IVF, and I think it's come a long way, and how people are looking at it, it's still in many societies are frowned upon. A lot of people will have their beliefs about it, you know, about a lot of religions will have their beliefs about it. But I think when it comes to donor side, my thinking was just, well, firstly, we're happy to take blood donations, we're happy to take organ donations. What makes this any difference to any of that? And I think to lift the veil on it, and to, there is no shame in it. And I think if we, the more we speak about it and talk about it openly and help educate society and in the workplace, in the workforce, that what people are going through, and allowing couples to open up and actually speak about it, because it does affect not just your personal life, it affects, the knock-on effects is massive. It is huge, and it does creep into it. You know, if it can help, then by all means. And I just want to say thank you for you opening up and creating this platform, and the women that you are guiding through this process, because I think you are also on the other end of it, and what you've experienced will be completely different to what my experience was. And we can just draw on one another's inspiration and hope that there is light at the end of the tunnel, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah, totally, totally. And thank you for your beautiful words. And also, you're right, there is no shame. And in fact, I like to tell people that they should be celebrated. And this is a journey to be celebrated, because because you've been through so much pain, but you've kept on moving forward, and you've been so determined to get there, to create your beautiful family and to shower love on these children. And obviously, the kind of hangover from those days of where it was all kept secret quite a few years ago now, but most people are 100% on board with not holding back any information, being transparent and open and honest with their children, and supporting them through their curiosity as it grows over time, with all the incredible books that are coming out now and everything. And I just believe in, you know, no judgment on anybody. Everybody has, is everybody's choice on the kind of donor they decide to use. Often there's like a funnel of choices that we have, dependent on so many different factors, time and money being, you know, huge factors. and where we live and what the availability and all of those things. And generally women and families that are going in this direction, they want a family so much because they just want to shower their love. They just want to share their love and instill their values and help to create really incredible humans and guide wonderful humans through this world to be part of the future generation. And so that's something to be celebrated. It's people that are so determined to have a family. Well, that's wonderful. There are plenty of people born in this world that weren't wanted. And so it's just like the irony of, you know, these women that Absolutely. Want it so much because they just want to do good. They want to shower their kids with love and have the means to do that. And they are the A-type personality that are super organized, will have everything organized and, you know, plan everything for their children and just create, yeah, lovely, lovely homes for their kids. So it's a completely different side to family building. And as I say, I really believe it should be celebrated. Everyone deserves to be celebrated for going on this huge journey, despite all of the setbacks that we experience through infertility. And thank you so much to science. Thank you so much to science for all these incredible avenues that we do have to use. So
it's on that note. I mean, it's not a curse, it's a blessing. Going what you're going through, and just to remind yourself, it's not a curse, because if you believe that it's a curse, then it will be a curse. And exactly, I think science have evolved so tremendously from where it was to where it is today. And thank goodness for science, because I remember thinking all I wanted was just to know the feeling. What does it feel like? I wanted to feel that. And whether it was through, and who knows, maybe if it wasn't going to be through donor egg, maybe it would have been adoption in the end. And if you look at really donor egg, it's really adopting in a sense. It's just this adoption is growing with inside of you. So it is another form of adoption for that matter. But yeah, it's incredible what science have done and how they're evolving and how the future is going to be looking. I mean, the world of AI that is now emerging is quite fascinating. And who knows where we will be in the next 5 years. But I'm just grateful that science made this available to so many people who yearn to just like you said, to shower the love and give and grow that beautiful human being that you're bringing into this world. So thank you.
Well, I could talk to you for a long, long time, Eloise, but thank you so much for everything. Really appreciate you spending your time and sharing your story and all of your wonderful words of wisdom. Really appreciate that.
And thank you again for inviting me and for sharing your platform with me. I truly appreciate it and hope that your listeners and the women that you're coaching get some value out of today's talk. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, it would mean the world to me if you could just give me a 5-star review and let me know your thoughts. And of course, if you know anyone that would benefit from listening, please share it with them. Until next time, remember, you don't have to navigate the dark nights of this journey alone. There's a community of women waiting here to cheerlead you on and support you as we all work together to bring the baby that's on our hearts and in our dreams, Earthside, and into our arms. See you next week.